Hi, I'm Susan Lewis. I had the chance to talk to violinist Benjamin Beilman about his CD, Spectrum. It includes works by Schubert, Janacek, Stravinsky, and Kreisler. I asked him what drew him to these four composers and these four works in particular.
I came to all four of these pieces because I considered, in a recording industry like we have today, where you can listen to individual works on Spotify and iTunes, YouTube, whatever you want, the idea of having one central theme to me wasn't the most compelling idea behind a CD. What I want to listen to when I listen to CDs is I want to hear someone's breadth. I want to hear that they can play a wide variety of repertoire, and I want to hear their personality inflected in many different styles. So I came to these four pieces because I felt that I had something different to say, something to add to each of these pieces. The Janacek Sonata is not played so often. I think it's gaining ground again. I think a lot of people are discovering it and realizing that it's a powerful work. It's only maybe 17 minutes long, but what he does in those 17 minutes, it just kind of leaves you almost like with an emotional gut punch. It is so moving. It is so at times bleak, but also very, very, very passionate and very electrified. The Schubert Sonata is just a piece that I absolutely adore. I love, obviously, Schubert's known as a great melody writer, and I just am absolutely in love with this piece, and so I thought, I have to play it, I have to record it. The Stravinsky is also a work that's not played so often, but he is a genius that, you know, some of his less popular works, I think, should be brought out as well. And there's a piece by Fritz Kreisler titled Viennese Rhapsodic Fantasietta, and that's a piece that most people don't know. He wrote it towards the very end of his life. I think it may have actually been the last published work of his. And it's essentially a 9.5 minute work that is pure gold, traditional Kreisler, you know, these wonderful melodies, this luscious, warm texture that he creates. And it has a really thrilling ending. So it's a really nice way to end a CD. But the Kreisler was a piece that was brought to my attention by my former teacher at the Curtis Institute, Ida Kavafian. She studied with Oskar Shumsky, who recorded all of the Fritz Kreisler works known to man, essentially. And so she passed on this recording, this almost bootleg recording of this piece to me. And when I heard it, I just thought, I have to do it. I love this writing. This is exactly what I want to close programs with and close a CD with. And I was lucky that my long-term recital partner, Yaekwon Sun-woo, agreed to do the concert and the CD as well.
And why did you say you love it so much you would like to start and end recital programs with it?
I think it's important to bring to light pieces that are maybe not so well known, but obviously everybody at the end of the day, I think, wants to listen to something familiar, or they want comfort at the end of the day. And I think Kreisler, you know, almost above all other composers, really can provide that. He has a sense of soul and heart and compassion that, you know, just kind of drips off of every piece that he writes. And the Viennese Rhapsodic Fantasietta is no exception.
Wow, great. At this point in your life, I understand you're about to be 27. Happy birthday. Do you have musical goals in terms of new repertoire that you'd like to tackle? And do you have non-musical goals as to other interests you're developing?
The musical goals are harder to put into words. I think, I mean, obviously everyone hopes that they improve, they get better, they have a deeper understanding of all the pieces that they play. The fact of the matter is, as a violinist, as a solo violinist, you're asked to play at most 10, 12 concertos in total regularly. So once you've gone through those, you know, that set of repertoire, what do you do? Do you stay and microscopically really pick apart every nuance in that piece for the rest of your life? Of course, that's, you know, you should do that every time that you come back to the piece. But for me, I'm also interested in a lot of new repertoire of living composers, even composers that have passed on at this point, but, you know, in the 1980s, 1990s wrote some wonderful pieces that are not played as often. Obviously, there's a tradition and a trend that once the world premiere happens, you know, a piece usually is lost for 5, 10, maybe 15 years until another person takes up the mantle, or that composer is, you know, recognized later on in life. So what I enjoy a lot, I won't say more, but a lot, and what I find equally important in my career right now is playing works of living composers. Last year, I premiered a violin concerto by Edmund Finniss. He's an English composer, and it was written for sort of a chamber ensemble and violin soloist. That was a blast to work on and obviously collaborate with him in person. I just came off of a recital tour where I played a new work by Jane Stanley, an Australian composer. Very soon, or I should say in a few years, probably a year or two, I'll probably be premiering a work by Frederick Shefsky. I mean, working with living composers is what we have to do. It's I enjoy it, but it's also what every decent musician, I think, has to do.
And do you like it in part because you're talking to the composer, you're understanding how this piece was born, but also are composers using different techniques and combining different genres?
Yes, there's all of that. Obviously, the one-on-one conversation with composers is a new insight that you can't get with Beethoven or Schubert. But what I appreciate most is that the composers who are living now are obviously responding to the times that we live in. It may not be overt or obvious, but they're not living in a cave. They're not isolated from the world. They see what's going on. They feel the events of the world and of society and of culture, and they respond to them through their music. And, you know, that's why I think people come to concerts, is that there's a sort of response and there's a self-reflection deep down in the music. And if you can have a composer who's doing that in the time that we're living in, all the better.
That's pretty exciting and hopeful for the future.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you so much, Benjamin Beilman.
Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.